The news segment of Better on Draft is always recorded after our interviews. We recorded this episode on July 5th, 2021, after our special Monday afternoon interview with Mark Bjornstad of Drecker Brewing Company. You can listen to us live Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, including this upcoming Friday, July 9th, where we are interviewing the Pink Boot Society of Southeast Michigan. You can find us on all of our social medias. It's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Better on Draft. You can watch us live, betterondraft.tv or youtube.com/betterondraft or facebook.com/betterondraft. You can also check out our sponsors, Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road over on North Center Street, as well as Downtown Northville, the little pop-up during the drinking district, as well as PCI Brandcraft. That's at PCI Brandcraft on Facebook and Instagram. Everything that you need for your logo and swag needs, that's what they can cover. We will see you soon. Welcome to the news segment, Better on Draft Podcast. We just finished that interview with Drecker Brewing over in North Dakota. We appreciate them joining us. And I want to go real quick around the horn, see what everyone is drinking. Today is July 5th, so hopefully both the pod and the news will be out by July 6th, depending on when I get to it. But I want to know what you guys are drinking, starting with Wendy. Wendy, what do you got?
I have the passion fruit. Why can't I say that word? Passion fruit.
Passion fruit.
From Drecker. And I also picked up this old-fashioned pre-made cocktail from Knob Creek that I thought I would give a go. On the Rocks Premium Cocktails, it's called.
All right. Rob, what about you?
That's our vodka soda of the episode right there.
There's no Dan with the Stoli today.
Right, no Dan with the Stoli. So I'm sipping on some mango lime kombucha at the moment in preparation for the beginning of the news segment, which is in this glass, which I will explain what that is once we get to it.
For myself, from a few weeks ago, we had Groundbreaker on. I got the Mellow Meridian Juicy Pale Ale because I've been drinking, obviously, some juicy IPA, so I might as well just kind of keep going with the juicy theory. I did get, and I am excited to try here, and just not today, but another day, but I was sent from Flying Embers organic low-carb beer. And they have a low-carb lager and a low-carb stout. So I am, and they're locale too. So I'm excited to go, try that. I know we're going to be doing a review for the lager here on our website. I'm keeping the stout for myself because, this is what I do. Well, that's so as much as I talk about it, as you can see behind me, I've got like Medianoche behind me. I've got a Malo behind me. That's going to get shared with y'all. So understand that sometimes when I keep things, I keep it for us later. When we have maybe a Christmas party this year. Sure. I know we're going to be, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it out when we do our Griffin Claw party. But that'll probably be a different party for sure. But as always, with segment two,
here is Robert with the beer news.
That's right. This segment is always Robert with the beer news. Robert slamming it like a champ. You got to work tonight.
No, I still have those trivia tonight. So keeping it light this time. I was not going with anything that was double-digit percent. This one actually was Rogue Brewing's Watusi Moonshot, which is their caramel apple sour ale. I will tell you that the first time I had this was at the beer festival. They were telling me what it was just before we were getting ready to start pouring for them at the festival. And I took the first sip of it, and I swear to God, I felt like I was getting ready to hit somebody in the mouth because it was ridiculously good at a point where I did not like sours at all. So very, very, very surprised by that. All right.
You know, we recently re-uploaded the video when we had Adam Lambert on with John Leone. From yes. Roke on our YouTube page. You can subscribe to us. That's youtube.com/betterondraft. That episode was actually episode number, and I was hoping it would show up the second that I went through, but we do a lot of uploading on our website. So apparently I can't figure out anything. But if I do Control F and hit Roke, there we go. Episode 210. We re-uploaded it about a month ago. And you know what was funny during that episode?
Pandemic episode?
One of the last episodes before the pandemic. John Leone fully steps up and admits to the shitty ass Roke packaging that they used to have, that Matt Bush would be like, oh, it was done in like MS Paint. And he's just like, you know what? It's my fault. And I gotta respect a man who can do that. But I know Roke beer is on tap over at the Dark Horse Brewery. So until they update their open up a tap room over at Royal Oak that they want to do, that's where you're going to be able to get your Roke beer. But I did see Centani over at my local store, so I might go pick that up here soon. But you drank some Watusi Moonshot. What's the news?
So, news, we got a bill, and only a bill, that is sitting up on Capitol Hill as a new bill was introduced by the U.S. House of Representatives under title H.R. 1346. It's called the Hospitality and Commerce Jobs Recovery Act. Now, just to before I get into this, just so you know that this was actually introduced originally in February. So I think it was February 25th, but it's just kind of obviously going through the processes and now just kind of hitting into the media. But the bill includes two components of note, one that allows a restaurant and dining restart credit for businesses closed or forced to reduce services due to COVID-19. The other is a tax credit for unmerchantable inventory for the period between December 31st, 2019 and before April 1st, 2021. The measure essentially would offer a tax credit for 90% of, quote, unmerchantable inventory costs that businesses held on or after March 13, 2020. So basically, any of those breweries of note that had beer that they had to dispose of because it went bad, because there was nobody coming out to get it, that small businesses or small business breweries will be able to hopefully recoup a tax credit for the loss of those of that lost revenue. It's estimated, according to the co-sponsors of this bill, that $900 million worth of beer had to be destroyed when the on-premise sales shut down back in March of 2020, with an overall estimated loss of on-premise sales total costing the beer industry an estimated $20 billion. That's an absolute lot of zeros. I guess I will start with you on this one, Ken. I mean, it's just in terms of the loss. I mean, we didn't have as many breweries that we thought we were going to lose in 2020, and how, you know, this year has now kind of brought back those breweries coming back. I guess with you and it just like getting this money back, I think it's going to help. But in kind of a year where it almost sounds like sales are still in a decline, and even at a point where we may not even have enough beer of sorts, I mean, is this good enough to make sure that 2021 doesn't have as many losses as we expected in 2020?
There are two parts that I think need to be addressed. One is breweries that had to close. There's one in Charlevoix, Big Cat or Cat something. I'd have to look at the list that we have, but there are obviously breweries in Michigan that closed due to COVID. Those people who may have lost money, lost their business, whatever, if they could be made whole or just, you know, free and clear, the brewery's gone, you have no debt. Like as long as that can happen too, I hope so. I don't know too much into the article if that will backtrack to previously ran breweries.
I'm worried about that too.
but the second part, and I think is one of the more important parts, is that this is a tax credit. Therefore, you're not getting money back or anything like that. Like the government is not handing you money, which I think a lot of people would be worried about. Another quote unquote handout. as you know, you guys know me, I'm a huge proponent of the restaurant industry and saving and helping and working with the restaurant industry and keeping it alive. But it's a tax credit. Therefore, you can write it off later and not have to worry about it, save you money. And if you've made it this far, I think that will help you get to the finish line without losing all your hair. All of this will make my, you know, theory of us losing 50% of our breweries even more terrible. But it was just so bad. But I think you're going to see a lot of breweries get saved. I think you're going to see the potential, should it happen, for a lot of breweries to come back. If they were having issues that they couldn't stay open or reopen. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of issues with breweries that maybe had played by the rules or maybe did what they could to survive, and other breweries may have lapped them because of it. Like, look at what Faison did, which was curbside only. You know, if they could have done more things, because, and they would have known this would have existed. But who's to say it will exist, because it's just been introduced. It hasn't been passed. So for me, I think it's great for the industry itself. We saw what a lot of, you know, the breweries who just donated a lot of their beer to distillers to be able to turn into hand sanny. So there are a lot of things that I it's going to be a positive. I think it's going to help out, and I don't see a reason why it shouldn't pass.
Right. I need to look into the law a little bit more to see if breweries like that, like for the local breweries here, one of note, definitely Griffin Claw out of Birmingham/Rochester, where they donated a lot of beer to make hand sanitizer. I don't know if that counts towards the credit. So I don't know if they get to actually benefit from it, whereas it's just breweries that just simply had to just dump barrels. So that I don't know. But I'm curious, Wendy, your thoughts on it.
Well, I agree with everything that Ken said, so I'm really not going to rehash everything so that we can move on to another story as well. But I do worry, though, that they won't. I want to make sure that the people who did donate to their beer to be turned into hand sanitizer aren't penalized for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because that helped out a lot in a situation where we weren't able to get any, but then all of a sudden here we had all this stuff. And I know, I do remember a story about that came out a while ago that we talked about, where there was some type of letter being sent to people, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. I hope that they don't forget some of the distilleries who did it as well, that being 2 James and their effort that they put. Now, granted, I'm kind of partial to 2 James because at a time when everything started, and myself personally being an employee of the trucking industry, where we do a lot of testing with 18-wheelers, as most people call them, or tractors, as most what we call in the building, that we have to do a lot of testing, and not being able to have the ability to sanitize the trucks at the time, we definitely had the ability to do so in terms of going to 2 James and me going out and buying sanitizer for our validation trucks to be able to do testing. And so I'm hoping that while 2 James didn't have to get rid of alcohol, you know, in order to do this, they put it in, you know, at the time, you know, their best interest and everybody's best interest to make sanitizer to help out. So hopefully they're not a place that gets forgotten in this particular bill.
And that's one extra point that I want to make, is because we are talking about breweries, but we do need to look at all aspects of the industry in all three tiers. So if a distributor lost money because of this, they need to be, you know, tax credit, be made whole. Yeah. If a restaurant loses money because the beer that they bought couldn't go back to a distributor, couldn't go back to the brewery, you know, wasn't bought back, they need to be whole. Like, there's Every step when you follow this liquid, because it's all about beer. What we're talking about here is strictly the beer part of the industry. If I don't care if it's a big name like a Buffalo Wild Wings, if B-Dubs had to destroy beer because the distributor wouldn't buy it back and it was going to go bad, they need to be made whole. Whether it's B-Dubs Hopcat or something local like a Three Nick Scoreboard over at Allen Park, like they need to be made and made sure they're taken care of. It's not just like from the brewery to the end game, the bar. All three steps need to be taken care of. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I think it needs to definitely go throughout that, because without that actually happening,
what's also nice, and sorry to cut you off when you did.
No, you're good.
The bill has 90 sponsors, and it's basically cut in half in between, Republicans and Democrats. Therefore, it is a bill that
it'll happen.
Yeah, I don't see why not, because it's not a spending bill, and it's a, let's just be frank. I understand we're not a political podcast, but one, Republicans are very big into tax credits and saving money on taxes. Democrats have been a lot more into saving the restaurant industry as a whole itself. Of course, there are both on both sides that want to do both, and that's okay. But I'm just saying, like, this hits everyone perfectly. So as long as there's no filler in here, or pork, I think that's what the political term is.
Yeah, pork.
This should pass, and it should should literally that final Band-Aid you need to stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm. True. Definitely. All right. So we'll go into another one here, which I was looking at this article, and it was kind of interesting because I was thinking about beer traditions, and we don't necessarily, I can't even remember the last time, if ever, that we've ever talked about whether or not we actually had a beer tradition. So there was this story that was out of Colorado where this Castle Rock native named Paul Myhill, he started a tradition of going to a brewery on the day of his mother's birthday. For context, Paul's mother had passed away about 18 years ago. And for him, visiting breweries kind of helped with dealing with the loss. Last year, Myhill had tried a new version of the tradition by visiting 30 breweries in 30 days. And he basically hit that in 20 days. So then he went for 100 breweries in 100 days, and he reached that one too. So essentially his new goal, which, he's got 19 days to finish, is that he was trying to hit 365 breweries before his mother's birthday. I don't know, based on the article, it didn't say whether or not, or rather how far he is on the quest, but he has been sharing his travels on Facebook. Personally, I just kind of feel that, I hope that he does hit it. Now, while I'm not sure if there's anything like that in us to be able to hit that many breweries in such a period of time, never mind even for, myself even hitting 30 breweries in 30 days, never mind 100. I guess I'm a little curious about if there's any traditions that you two have with beer, whether it being with a specific beer or a specific brewery. Because, I do have one for myself. And, I guess that's what this article kind of touched on with me, because I lost my mother 3 years ago. And, her birthday was on June 22nd. In actuality, the day that I essentially lost her was the day of an episode we were recording with Drafting Table. I believe that was episode 149, was the day where suddenly, I got the call while we were in the midst of an episode. And what I like to do is that it actually stemmed from Drafting Table and their barrel-aged Mean Vanilla Bean. In that Mark Vessel, the then brewer of Drafting Table, he is now actually with Eastern Market Brewing / Ferno Project, that he saved a rye bourbon barrel version of their Mean Vanilla Bean. And I had pretty much made it a tradition to go out to the cemetery and, you know, visit my mom's grave, have the beer, and, you know, that was essentially it. I feel like I may have to actually change that a little bit now because of the fact that Mark is no longer with Drafting Table. I haven't decided yet. I may just still stick with what Drafting Table is still doing because they're still going to make the beer. But, you know, it's kind of grown for me personally to have that tradition to be able to do that because, you know, as a society that doesn't necessarily talk about mental health too much, it is something that definitely helps me in having to deal with loss and dealing with someone for me that was very important. And it's something that, you know, it just helps. So I guess I was curious with you guys, just in terms of, is there like a tradition that you may have with a beer that you like to just have, whether it may just be even for like, I want to say WrestleMania for Ken and just having a certain beer for WrestleMania. I don't care what it is.
Let's start with Wendy.
Well, yeah. I could not top that story at all. But so I guess the only beer tradition that I really have would be Oberon Day. I have to have an Oberon. Even if I'm at home, I will have one. I prefer to go and pick it up, but sometimes that case disappears, or they don't let us, whatever. But so Oberon Day for me would be the only real beer tradition that I have, I think. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that it's like I have to have that specific beer for that specific reason. And really, I just look at Oberon Day as a thank God spring is coming.
I always forget what Oberon Day is. And it's just like, even with the Facebook post, I always just like, oh, shit, it's Oberon Day. And then for me, it just never happens.
Well, it helps that my dad loves Oberon because then I just always make sure that he has some. So then, you know, and they make it year round. So it's not like you're getting a fresh batch.
Right. But, well, so, you know, there's always those people that are out there. Oh, it doesn't taste as good as last year's.
I know. They didn't used to distribute it year round here, but you can still get it early.
Right. So the distribution year round is out of Michigan. So they distro it outside of Michigan. We kind of learned that, I think, when we were talking to John Mallett that one week. And no, they don't change it. Or as he says, they change it just to fuck with you. For me, for the longest time, and I'm going to be with Wendy here, Oberon Day, I used to go to Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills. This is way before they sponsored the podcast, way before, like, I knew Jack, and this was back when, like, Allagash was distroing in Michigan. Because I would always probably work on Oberon Day, and I was at the Walmart that was at Adams and M59. I worked at the Flagstar inside, and on the way home, Zatuna was right off of Rochester Road because I lived in Troy, and I would always stop at Zatuna. And Oberon Day was one of those things, and this was back when Oberon would always be would sell out on opening day, like it would sell out when it first came out. And he would always keep me a case ready to go, no matter what time I got there, because usually I'd work until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, get over there. You know, we didn't keep banker's hours at Flagstar. We were a 7-day bank. And so I would always make sure to go there. Another one, and this was back to when I was younger in my 20s, but every year I would hit a brewery for my birthday and just bring like open invitation to all my friends, said, hey, if you could come, great. If not, no big deal, but this is where I will be. And it was always the Thursday before my birthday. It just made life a lot easier. Just because, you know, people have weekend vacations or they're working late, because at that time, especially in my early 20s, a lot of people are in college or they're in, you know, the industry where you're working till midnight, one in the morning. So Thursday night, it was always the Thursday before my birthday. I remember my birthday at Dragon Mead. I brought so many people that they had to call in another waitress. and they gave me free drinks for the whole night, because I brought them so much business that day. And there was, mind you, so I used, so first of all, as you guys can tell, I'm a very big friendly person. I make friends with a lot of people. So my birthdays would involve like 60 to 70 people, showing up to a bar. So we went at one point to the Rob. And everyone, as they were coming in, was waiting in line, and we would continuously take up more and more and more tables. But I've told the story a handful of times on the show. We drank them out of beer. The Rob literally ran out of beer while we were there. So we wound up having to take it to, I think we went to somewhere in Ferndale. But yeah, so that was always my big thing, is to always go to a different brewery for my birthday. With regards to a beer versus a specific day of the year or whatever, I don't have any of that anymore. Like, as much as you mentioned, like WrestleMania, like I make sure I take off, you know, the next day so I can drink and enjoy and have fun. But I don't have any. You know what? I lied. You ready? I figured it ready. Out. It took me that long. But it's more of a scenario. But when I go to Las Vegas, and I used to go one or two times a year. For me, I always had to make it a point to go to Four Queens, to the Chicago brewery, and have their Old Town Brown. And it wasn't necessarily a beer that was amazing or a beer that meant anything, but it was, that was like the craft beer that solidified my trip to Vegas. And Wendy, you might have it when you go on your trips, because you go all over the place, but there might be a city that you go where you have to stop and have that specific beer or stop and have that specific brewery. She says no. But for me, like that was a must. Like, I had to stop. No matter what, I have to go into Four Queens. And as much as alcohol is free in Vegas when you go out and you're gambling.
Very free.
That beer is not free, but I would go and pay for it. Because.
Not anymore.
What's that?
You have to hit a percentage in gambling for them to give you free beers at a lot of the places now.
I never had that issue because I always played
old trip.
Somebody like me, who's not a gambler, going to Vegas isn't always as profitable for someone like you.
Because
I'm going to have to pay for my drinks and my gambling.
When we used to go, my favorite drinking gambling story is there was it was virtual blackjack. So it was a virtual dealer, but it was a machine. So they, you know, pre-record all the motions and stuff, and the person's real because they recorded them. And at one point, the waitress understood that every 20 minutes, if she came and refilled our drinks, she would get a dollar. Well, there's seven people sitting at this table, plus usually one or two people playing slots around us that were with us that didn't want to play blackjack. And she knew that every 20 minutes, she could make $10 just from us, and would continuously refill our drinks and refill beers and everything. And at one point, like, I think I had like three glasses of Killian's in front of me, and I'm like, I can't do anymore, lady. Here's a dollar. Give us an hour.
Boy.
But yeah, so for Vegas, for me, Old Town Brown, but I don't have, you know, Rob kind of destroyed us, but, you know, had the perfect story to go with the article itself.
I kind of want to change it up a little bit this year, in that I'm hoping that one of my favorite breweries, or rather just really any of the breweries in the area, I'm really thinking about trying to come up with a recipe for a beer in her honor. And what really annoys me right now is that I can't use her first name because her first name has basically become a term for any type of woman with a Rachel from Friends haircut that is asking for a manager. So I can't do that. But I think for this coming year, for next June, that I want to make a beer in her honor and just make that the tradition. And, you know, if a brewery just is making a shitload of money off of a beer that just turns out to be pretty damn good, I'm okay with that because, you know, it's her beer. Even though my mom didn't drink beer, she was a wine drinker. So, you know, that's kind of what I want to try and do this coming year. So in any breweries, of course, our local ones that are out here that are listening that, hey, we want to make a beer. Let me know. we'll work it out.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for the news segment here at Better Andre. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We are live Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll be live this Friday with the Pink Boot Society of Southeast Michigan. There's a returning guest in that list from Pink Boot Society, so we're excited to bring her back in. But we'll bury that lead a little bit, and you'll try to figure it out, but that's going to do it. Better on Draft the News, July 5th, 2021. No matter what you think of your beer, no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.